This is a production of Cornell University.
All right, well then I will call the meeting to order. It's April 7th, 2020. We're meeting via Zoom because of COVID-19. Let's call the roll and see who's here as the first item of business.
All right. Can you guys all hear me?
Yes, thank you.
Okay.
Yes.
Joseph Anderson?
Here.
Andy Barrientos Gomez?
Here.
Christopher Barth?
He will be out.
Richard Bensel Hardy. Uche Chukwuker? Cody Duell?
Here.
Brandon Fortenberry? David Heiner? Alex Hong?
Here.
Robert Howarth?
Here.
Adam Howell?
Adam will be out as well.
Logan Kenny?
Here.
Carolyn Levine? Yufan Lee? Gavin Martin?
Here.
Rennell Mensa?
Here, sorry.
Jeff P?
Here.
Pilar Thompson?
Here.
And Charles Van Loan?
Here.
Okay, we do have a quorum. Thank you. Are there any calls for late additions to the agenda? Okay. Hearing none, approval of the minutes. If I could get a motion for that.
Motion
from someone?
Motion to approve.
Oh. Okay, Joe has moved to approve the minutes. Is there a second?
Second.
Logan has seconded. Any discussion on the minutes? Okay, hearing none, the minutes are approved. I just want to give a couple of updates and a little bit of discussion. We have two more meetings scheduled, both by Zoom for this semester. We have a special meeting scheduled for April 21st, 2 weeks from today, and then our final regular meeting of the semester is scheduled for May 5th. I'm not sure if we'll be able to complete our business by then or not. Of course, the semester's been extended, so we could add on another meeting, but I suggest we, at the moment, stick to those two times and see what we can do to finish. Our major priority, I think, for the entire assembly, for the rest of the semester, will be to see what we can do with the code revisions. We'll get an update in a moment from Joe and the CJC, but the UA has to act on those at some time, and we need to also have a feedback communication with the community. So we should have a discussion on that. I suggest we pick that up after you give your overview, Joe, and we talk about how the UA can best facilitate that. But the other issue that we need to address is that under our bylaws, we elect the officers for next year at the conclusion, sometime after our last scheduled meeting for the year. So it'd normally be May 5th. I don't think that makes sense to do, given the difficulty of having elections via Zoom and without the normal discussion we'd have. On top of that, both the Student Assembly and the Employee Assembly have postponed the elections of their officers until the fall. And so we, in fact, won't know who the new UA representatives are until then. So my suggestion would be that we pass a resolution that would allow those of us who are currently serving as officers to continue until such time as the UA can meet in person in the fall and go back to the normal protocol. So I don't know if there's discussion on that, or we could have a quick resolution on it now, or we can vote on it next time. Any discussion on that? I'm not trying to seize power, but I think it's the best way forward under the circumstances. I don't see any discussion. Should we bring a formal resolution for that to the next meeting in 2 weeks? On the assumption we'll probably be moving that way?
Yeah, I think that would be best.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, so we'll draw something up and have it available for a vote in 2 weeks, and obviously we can debate it further, but that's my proposal at the moment. Okay, our next agenda item, way ahead of schedule here, is to hear from Susanna Swanson and to get a chance to ask her some questions. Susanna has been nominated by President Pollack to be the JCC in the future. Her term would begin actually a year from next fall, but she'd start to serve in that office as of next fall. She was selected by a search committee on which the UA had some representation. I'm not exactly sure how much. Jeff P, I believe, was a member, and I'm not sure who else we had as representatives, but we had some representation. As I say, President Pollack has approved Susanna's appointment, but it requires our approval as well. So we've asked Susanna to spend 5 to 10 minutes giving her a chance to tell us why she's interested in the job, and then we have some time to ask her questions as well. So, Susanna, the floor is yours.
Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak with you all today. So I just wanted to start off with a little bit about myself to introduce myself to you. So I went to undergrad at the University of Alabama at Birmingham. And while I was in undergrad, I worked with the Southern Environmental Law Center, particularly working with their summer film fellowship, as well as an administrative assistant during the school year. After I finished college, I served in the Peace Corps for 2 years, where I taught first and second grade. And I think my most significant project was I wrote and implemented a $5,000 grant project to renovate those classroom libraries at my school and also train teachers and students how to use those libraries. I chose Cornell because for law school, because I was really drawn to the sense of community that I felt at Cornell, as well as I was really looking for a school that gave me hands-on experience while I was studying. And the clinical offerings at Cornell were just unparalleled at any other school that I was looking at. And that's part of the reason why I wanted to be a JCC. I think it will give me excellent experience honing my oral and written advocacy skills. I want to be a litigator when I finish law school, so those are invaluable skills for me to work on as a law student. Additionally, I really see being a JCC as my opportunity to serve the Cornell community. It's a tight-knit community, and I think that I've been looking for a way to give back to that community, and I think serving as JCC will allow me to do that, provide guidance to individuals who are navigating the codes, as I know that that is a daunting process, especially for younger students such as freshmen. And I'm excited about the head JCC position in particular, because I value my leadership skills. In the positions I've held in the past, I've really ensured that I've listened to those that I'm working with when distributing responsibilities so that we can move forward in a way that's really meeting the needs of everyone on the team. And I think that my skills will make me a good JCC from talking to Gabby and the things that she does in her capacity as head JCC. I think that my skills make me a good fit. I am well organized and have good time management skills. And I think that those are vital to the position. As I'm excited about being a JCC and really moving the office forward and continuing the great work that they are doing for the Cornell community. And that is why I want the position. So I'm happy to take your questions at this point, if you have any.
Okay. Thank you, Susanna. If you have a question, why don't you raise your hand and I'll try to figure out. Joe, go for it.
Hi, thank you so much. I have two questions, primarily relating to the current code revision as it stands now. First and foremost, the code is narrowing its scope to really an undergraduate student code of conduct mainly. And so my question pertains to that is, what currently do you know about what the undergraduate student experience looks like in terms of conduct, and how you know major campus units under student campus life feed into the conduct system? And my second question pertains to another large scale change that's happening is a massive focus on educational conferences and alternative dispute resolution. And so I'm wondering what experience you might have with those processes and how your office and under your leadership as kind of the JCC, how you will really look to alternative dispute resolution instead of the formal use of hearings as one of the primary modes of student conduct.
Sure. Thanks for your questions, Joe. So I'm going to start with the first one, which I think is just my understanding of how the conduct system works in the undergraduate community, if I understand your question correctly. And I think under the revisions, the biggest thing is bringing organizations into the jurisdiction of the within the code of conduct. Am I right in understanding that is the biggest change that's being made, or am I not right in that?
It's not all organizations. It would just be social Greek life. That's one in terms of organizations. It's social Greek life, so university recognized organizations.
Sure. So I think given the happenings at the school, I think that is a good change. I think that having that oversight with the social organizations is a positive change. I think that given the recent events at the school, I think that the more oversight, that is the better in that situation. And if that answers your question, I'd like to move on to the alternative dispute resolution. I think that going through the process of a hearing can certainly be a daunting event for an undergraduate student. And I think having a method to resolve that before going to that formal hearing and making that more available and more robust, I think that is a positive change as well. Settling and making sure that everybody is kind of working towards what's best for everyone involved.
Great, thank you.
Other questions? I'm not seeing any hands. Pilar, are you seeing any? Logan.
Richard has a question in the message as well.
That I don't see. Mm-hmm. Logan.
Okay, cool. Hey, Susanna.
Hi,
so, hope you're well. So my question is, I'm trying to figure out the best way to phrase this. So Gabrielle did a fantastic job of always making sure that the JCC office was represented to the Codes and Judicial Committee, which forms like a fantastic bridge and liaison to then have the JCC opinion be able to stay within the realm of the UA and to keep everyone in the same discussion. So I'm just curious as to whether that's something you've talked about as like a group within the JCC's office and under your leadership, if that's something that you would continue forward, because I view it as like a really vital thing for your office.
Sure, I think that is vital given that the JCC office is working with the codes very, that is what we're working to navigate. And so I think working with the office that's in charge of revising and kind of overseeing those codes, I think that relationship is a positive one. I certainly would want to continue it under my leadership.
Thank you. Yeah, it changes from JCC to JCC, so it's good to hear that you're enthusiastic about staying connected with the group.
So I'll go ahead. Yeah, Bob, I think you couldn't see the messages. So before I ask Richard's question, Gabrielle Cantor has just posted a message. If I could add some context, the JCC office asked that the applicants review the current code. During the interview process, we discussed the code revisions, but because they are still underway, we did not ask the JCC applicants to read the proposals, especially because they just went up online for public comments. So that's just to give a bit of context. Okay. Then we go to Richard, who does have a question for you, Susanna. One of the most contentious issues has been the specification of burden of proof in the JAA proceedings. What is your position on that? Not, you know, preponderance of evidence.
Sure. So from my understanding, that's with reference to the potential change in the Title IX administration and moving either to both the Title IX code and the code of conduct being under a preponderance standards or under clear and convincing standards. So I think that it is important to have a clear or have a preponderance standards in Title IX hearings, given the sometimes squishy nature of Title IX, that given the intimacy of those interactions, sometimes it's difficult to gather evidence. And so I think maintaining the preponderance standard for Title IX is important. If we were to go towards a standard burden of proof for both the code of conduct and the Title IX, I would maintain the preponderance standards, but then I would ask that the codes office really think about the sanctions that they are giving out to students, because lowering to a preponderance standard, thinking about giving less harsh sanctions or maybe moving to more alternative dispute resolution if the burden was lowered. So that is my position on that, Richard. And if you have any follow-up questions, I'm happy to answer those.
Let's see, Uche.
Hi, Susanna. Thank you for coming in today. Sure. My question comes from, if we were to bring, social Greek life under the campus code of conduct, how would you work with the office of fraternity and sorority life to like make sure that when there are cases of like hazing or other violations that social Greek organizations may commit on campus or to other students, how will you make sure that your understanding of like social Greek life on campus and your connection with students, like how are you going to make sure that like you're mitigating that and like you're bringing in that experience when as a JCC?
So I'm a little unclear on your question. So just for clarification, are you asking how I would work with Greek life or just how that interaction would play out? Or I just asked if maybe you rephrase your question a little bit, because that's a little unclear to me.
I guess it's in twofold. Like one, like how will you like build that connection with the Office of Fraternity and Sorority Life, especially seeing as with social Greek life coming under the code, they will be acting as, they'll be acting in more of an advisory role to social Greek organizations on campus. And if you're going to be working with students as a JCC and like saying like there's a violation that a student commits and maybe they're not super understanding of the code, things of that nature, like how are you going to like work with like the office of OSFL to ensure that like you're building a good connection with the OSFL, and understanding how like Greek life works on campus.
All right. So I was in a Greek organization in undergrad. I didn't go to Cornell, but I do have a basic idea of how Greek life works on campuses. So I am coming in with that knowledge. As far as how I would work with Greek life, if the organizations were brought under the code of conduct, I would treat them as any other client that I would treat working as a JCC. So I will represent the organizations as to the best of my ability, and just as if they were another client, because that is what they will be if they come out under the code of conduct.
Are there other questions or comments? I'm not, Joe.
So one of the major issues that we've talked, quite a lot about, not pertaining to the code of conduct, but pertaining to the code of academic integrity, and kind of, you know, every year it seems that in the JCC annual report, there's something about the code of academic integrity and the flaws that are presented within the system there. And so I guess that is a very specific example to kind of a broad question that I have about what your on-campus advocacy in a sense would look like as the JCC. Gabrielle does a wonderful job of this, you know, in the CJC, attending CJC meetings, you know, being active in the space, and also, you know, pushing overall like these broad systems, you know, the code of academic integrity. So I guess in that specific example, the JCCs have done a lot with their annual reports, but I'm wondering what your style of advocacy outside of the conduct process would look like.
So I'm excited about learning this year kind of about how interactions work within the Cornell community. And I think from there, I will get a better sense of what my advocacy style might be. I don't think I can really fully answer that question at this point because I haven't interacted with those systems yet. But I look forward to learning this year about those interactions and seeing how the office interacts campus-wide this year, and then from there, I think I'll have a much better sense of what my advocacy style might be going forward. Yes, but I think that Gabby's interaction with the CJC, as I responded to Logan earlier, I think that's very important, as those are the codes that we're working with on a daily basis.
Great, thank you.
Yeah.
Are there any further questions or comments? I'm not seeing any hands up. Okay, well, if there are no further comments, Susanna, thank you for your presentation and for handling those questions. I think our procedure will be to take up your nomination at our next meeting, which is in 2 weeks, and probably vote on it then. But
sure.
We'll see. Thank you very much for talking to us today.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me. I am going to, I think, go off the phone call. So I just wanted to say thank you for having me. And yes, have an excellent day. Enjoy the weather.
Yep. Take care. Okay, so as I say, I think our best procedure, we could vote on it today, but perhaps we should have a short discussion and a formal vote in 2 weeks if that works for people. So we'll put that on the agenda for 2 weeks from today. The next agenda item are committee updates, and Joe, you're on for talking about the JCC. It's been a long day, right? Too many of these, you know what you're talking about, even if I don't. And after your presentation, we should come back to and talk about how we should engage the UA in the outreach to the community. Floor is yours.
Thank you, everyone. So the update is mainly going to concern about a lot of logistics, and I'm going to make some asks to the UA to consider, just so that we have everything proper on the timeline. So I'll give you the update on the timeline. So currently, public comment is open on the substantive part of the code, in which you all received an email from me. That is up on the Office of Assembly's website. I will send that out to the full UA after this meeting for all of you to have. We're currently working on it's a NetID authentication, and we're currently working on a way for people to comment anonymously after that they logged in. This is consistent with previous public comment periods that we've done in the past, and I think it provides an opportunity to get more blunt and honest comments on the code from people, because I think that is a possibility. So that is up, and I will send that link out to everyone. In addition, we are currently working on the procedure section of a code that is slated to be done by April 17th. And so that's a Friday. We have a meeting in the morning. And then after that meeting, hopefully you know, I will be able to clean up the document and then send that out either Friday evening, Saturday, over that weekend period to the whole UA. And that will also get placed on the Office of Assembly site for public comment as well. Both the substantive part of the code and the procedure part of the code will be up for public comment until May 1. And then the CJC will spend time with any comments that we have to see if we agree or disagree, you know, with things and take that into consideration. So that kind of leads to my request. I know we added the April 20, like 2 weeks from now meeting, because it was a CJC ask, because we were working under a timeline in which we were a pre, Zoom world. And, I don't, you know, if the UA doesn't have intensive business for that meeting, I know that meeting was slated for mostly CJC based work. I would, you know, offer the concept to potentially cancel that meeting and replace it with a meeting either May 12 or May 19, which May 12 is the last day of instruction, and May 19 would be the, you know, in the midst of finals period. I would prefer that because I think it would allow the CJC to actually be able to digest what we receive from public comment, make those changes, and send them back to the UA for full consideration. And I think that would ultimately be better for the timeline if people do agree. And that would still keep us, you know, hopefully, you know, the May 12th, I would prefer for the final vote for the UA, because I believe that is actually, I would have to check with Madeline Wessel. That would be the date, you know, I think we could closest get to the Board of Trustees meeting. I don't know exactly when that date is. I should probably know in my head. But we need to have the code before the board meets so the board can ratify it, because ultimately they have control over this code. So that's why I would prefer the May 12th date. So with all of that being said, I, you know, hope people consider, you know, the change in calendar options. Yeah, I mean, the world doesn't bend to the CJC, and I understand that. So, you know, if that isn't tenable from the UA perspective, totally understand, and we'll work to see what we can do, but it would be greatly, greatly appreciated. And also, I'm open to any questions people might immediately have on the substantive part of the code that was sent out, so we could get into a bit of Q&A, a bit of discussion about it. Or if not, people are welcome to schedule like little one-on-one chats with me as they read the code and they have questions about it. So yeah.
Okay, well, let's start with the calendar. And Pilar is sending me messages saying that I got the date wrong. It's actually April 28th, not 21st. My calendar says the 21st, go figure. But your proposal is that we cancel that and go with May 5th.
We cancel that and go with May 12th.
Well, May 5th will be our regular meeting, so.
Yeah, and we need to at least have the May 5th meeting to be the formal introduction and May 12th to be the final vote meeting.
And you think that'll be enough time for discussion as well? We could have,
yeah.
We could do April 28th, May 5th, May 12th.
Yeah, if people are okay with meeting more, you know, more provides me more opportunities to educate everyone on the UA about the code changes, so we can minimize questions. But I just wanted to respect everyone's time too. So whatever people feel is best. I mean, more meetings, more fun for me, I suppose.
Do people have a strong sense of, Charlie's waving his hand there?
So again, I apologize in advance if I missed anything, but, how long is the document that's up for people to look at? Is it like a 20 or 30 pager?
The current one that we have up right now, I think was reduced to 15 pages. It's not, but it's in an HTML format, so you can bounce around with the links, which like the Faculty Senate website has done. The procedures are substantially longer and a little bit more complex, I would say, than what's currently up there. What's currently up there, I think, is very, you know, cut and dry, straightforward.
Okay, yeah. I guess everyone is swamped with emails and whatever. I would say the faculty threshold is, you know, you're lucky if they can read a paragraph. I don't know what it would be for students, but we're at that level. I'm just saying, is it possible to have like a one pager that has, here are the five biggest changes and like a before and after each one, you know, maybe two or three sentences. Is it possible to get it down to that level?
We can certainly try to get like the big changes and stuff like that. I think it's easier to do in like the violation sense rather than the procedure sense. I think the procedure is a lot of the devil's in the details there, which is, you know, I can certainly, you know, work on a simple one pager for both sections to get it down, because I do understand your concern on it. Like, I feel everyone is kind of overloaded. But I also want to, you know, respect the work that CJC has put in, also understand, like, you know, the stuff, you know, some people might care, you know, I can always be like, if you care about this item, refer to the website. But I mean, I could definitely do that for everyone.
I just think that there's, sure, there are going to be people who, I agree that, you know, devil in details and all that sort of thing. And people should have the opportunity to get down to that level. But I'm just sort of saying, under the heading of less is more, to get more, if you can somehow just, you know, it's like an abstract. You know, I don't have time to read the paper, but I can read the abstract and I can make some comments.
Yeah.
And if you could, I just pick five out of the hat, I'm not sure, but what are the main changes? You know, that's to get the average person in the street to comment on that. I think you got to get it down to something that cryptic.
Yeah, I mean, I agree, and I can work on that for the full UA to have, and we can post that as well to get, you know, to be able to be more digestible. Yeah, I agree.
I think that's a good proposal. Obviously, people are welcome to look at the whole thing, and be great if people do, but to have a summary to start with would be good. Are there other comments or questions for Joe on that?
I mean, I suspect the trustees will want that too. You can imagine what their plate looks like for the May meeting. I mean, it's we're all up against it.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
On the timing, I do think May 12th is about as late as we could possibly vote on it and get it to the trustees. I think the meeting is the 21st or something, but I'm not entirely sure either, but it's through there.
Yeah, it would be, because commencement was to have been the 24th, mm-hmm. and they're here the 3 days before that.
Yeah.
Okay, so the 21st, we need to give them some time. So I think the 12th is okay, but no later than that. The 5th, we're already scheduled as a regular meeting, which we can't easily change, actually. My suggestion is that we meet the 28th and the 5th and the 12th. People are okay with that, and we not meet on the 21st, which I probably misspoke about anyway, according to Pilar, and that the focus primarily be on these codes, but we do have a couple of other resolutions, including the voting on Susanna.
And for the 28th, I'm happy to get that document already there, and I mean I'll digest a lot of the big points into a slide deck for the UA to digest, and I can formally present on some of the changes then for the 28th.
Okay, that'd be
28th.
Great. Yeah. And whatever is available online before then would be great as well. So let's count on the 28th, May 5, and May 12. May 12 will be our final meeting. And April 21 is not a meeting. I misspoke, I guess. If not, we've changed our mind. The other thing we need to think about some is we want to have as much opportunity as possible for input from the entire Cornell community. It's tough, given where we are at the moment, given both the time and COVID, but what steps would people like to see us try to take if we were to take a final vote on this by May 12th?
For context, I've asked every constituent representative member, you know, at least send the link to their leadership of their respective assembly so that they could hopefully get an email out through those listservs, formerly listservs. I know the EA, Jen, you know, gave a little presentation at the EA about parts of the code. And then I'm working with the office to send out like a pretty large email blast about this as well. So that's kind of already baseline what's happening for everyone to consider.
And your email blast would be to the undergraduates?
The SA1 specific one. And then I think the OA and I are working on a university-wide one, because I think we've done it before for other types of like public comment periods.
Okay. Is everyone happy with that? Any comments on that? Anything else we should be doing? I mean, this is all a bit rushed in one level, another level's not at all. It's been going on a long time, but it's a, I do think we should do our best to try to finish it up on this time frame if it's humanly possible. I appreciate what the CJC members have been doing.
Yeah, and like I said earlier, we have we're working on a public forum date sometime in the week of April 20th, and that's also being coordinated with the OA. They just facilitated the COVID-19 forums with the employees, and they said it worked really well. So I'm going to work with them on that date and that specific time, and that invite will be sent out to all UA members to send to respective constituencies.
Okay, sounds good to me. Anyone else want to weigh in on that? Questions, comments? If not, we'll proceed with that as the plan. Okay, thank you, Joe. Next, David Heiner, CWC. You there, David? You were.
David is here. I don't know if he's having difficulties with his audio. He did message me and said, oh, there. Are you there, David?
You there, David?
Right. Yeah. I have asked that it be delivered monthly for the first of the month so that we can start to use it for trending analysis and just see how we're doing over time.
What?
I'm not sure. I think he did message me. I muted him now because it didn't make sense. So maybe we didn't need to be listening to that conversation. He did message that the CWC does not have any updates.
Yeah.
I mean, he might be in another meeting for all I know.
In general, I do think the, you know, finishing off whatever we can, but it's a tough spring. I know David and I have talked before, and he's mentioned to the whole UA that on the tobacco push, which they're making, will be put off till the fall. It makes no sense to push that ahead now either. So presumably there's not much more there to talk about.
Yep. Nothing, no updates for us.
Yep. Now, in the CIC, Chris Barth cannot make it. Pilar, you said he had something that
he does, but he said he will be sending it to us later. He was unable to provide it by today's meeting.
Okay. That's fine. And that takes it to you, Charlie, for the budget planning committee.
New here, except that the financial policy committee, given the crisis, actually asked the provost and Paul Streeter is the head budget guy, whether or not we should cancel next week's meeting. And the answer is no. And it gets you thinking that this committee is even more important because of what's coming down the road. It's going to be extremely hard financial times for the university, and it's not just next year, this is years, okay, that it's going to be issues. And it's more important than ever that the community understand what the pressures are. I sit in on meetings right now, and you know, people are still trying to find their way, but it's sort of a consensus is that the community really does have to be educated about this stuff more than ever, because some really hard decisions are coming down. And the dynamic is like, all right, I don't like your decision, but I understand now how you made it. And that's an important thing to be able to say. So, and I think in the next coming weeks, as things clarify, whatever that means nowadays, more information will be coming out. But just as a sample, I mean, the whole international student scene in the fall, even under best case scenarios, you know, unless all the consulates open up by June, which is because it takes 2 months to get a visa and so on, there can be dramatic changes in that population. And you think about something like I'm most familiar with is engineering, Master of Engineering, and, you know, about, I think 80% of that population are international students, and that whole operation is so central to engineering. I mean, you can just repeat that story all over campus. So we're up against it, and I'm just sort of saying that everything we were thinking about for this year with that committee and our budget guide for average people document and whatever, everything has to be revisited with this in mind. So that's not surprising that I have no updates.
Okay. All right. Well, that's really upbeat, Charlie. Thanks.
Well, I mean, yeah. So, but yeah, I've only asked. I mean, like, you have to be prepared. You know, it's like privately. You know, your optimism is day by day, right? But you have to think long term, and not doing that, it doesn't mean I'm not depressed. I guess this is the thing. You know, we're up against it, but it doesn't mean, you know, in a certain sense, you're energized. I mean, to really see that the university, like all universities, are really up against it, and we have to really work hard and think hard about and plan for all different scenarios, right? Mm-hmm. And so I feel that way. And yeah, so sorry not to throw a damper on our meeting here, but it's realistic. It doesn't mean it's hopeless. It means we really have to work hard and have as many people looking at the problems as possible, mm-hmm. because you need all these different viewpoints to navigate what's going on now. So,
well, that's, you know, shared governance becomes more important than ever, right?
Exactly. That was said when we were talking about the last, maybe 10 days ago, should we have Senate meetings and whatever? And it's exactly right, Bob. It's like shared governance is more important during a time of crisis than not. And it's, again, it's this idea that you need as many different constituencies and people looking at these huge problems, you know, and trying to figure it out. So, you know, we are going to have a Senate meeting next week. We had a special one last week. And in fact, the online thing makes things more flexible. We don't have to hold them at the exact date. It actually makes it easier to schedule things and be responsive. So we're going to do a mix of sort of things that were on our agenda back in January when things looked normal. A mix of those things and special topics that come up. Like last week it was about the grade option thing, and I'm sure there are going to be other things down the road, and every Senate meeting will have a corner devoted to, you know, current events, even if it's just people saying, you know, this is what I see in my department, and that's valuable. So it is a moment for shared governance.
Good. Well, thank you for that update. That is the end of our agenda. It's amazing how efficient we are by Zoom as opposed to being in person. Would anyone like to comment in general, maybe in response to what Charlie just said, or should we end early? Plenty to do for sure. I do think it's important. Well, we're going to finish off the code if we possibly can. We should pay attention to what else is going on in the university and try to have our voice be there as needed. So stay in touch on that. If there's nothing else that anyone wants to say, then I will adjourn this meeting.
And there is a second to adjourn.
Thank you. We are adjourned. Take care, everyone. Be safe.
Thank you, everyone. Please.
This has been a production of Cornell University, on the web at cornell.edu.